Hi, I'm Stunning Stella Cheeks.
And I'm the Enigma Erin Klein.
And this is Not Your Demographic, a feminist wrestling podcast.
Shockingly, those exist. Everybody, we're kind of drunk already.
We're fully drunk already.
Here's the deal, everybody. Literally 5 minutes before I walked in the door to Stella's
on my porch.
Literally on her porch. I was literally on the phone when I found this out. My grandpa died 5 minutes before I got here, so I'm not really in a great place to talk about all of the wrestling. So we're not. We're just not going to do that this week.
So we had friendship time and bonding time.
It was really nice, actually.
Over a bottle of wine. So we are tipsy.
I really appreciate it. That was really nice.
But we don't want to leave.
I came in and Stella was like, are you okay? And I was like, I don't know. I was literally like crying on the phone when I walked in. It was not great. So.
And like the second thing I said was like, well, it's not SummerSlam, so we don't really have
to do this. We don't have to do this. So we're not. We're just not. So I'm sorry that you all expected things, but my grandpa died. So we're not. We're just not doing that this week.
But we have calmed down. We're sufficiently drunk. We did watch the Mae Young Parade of Champions. So we're going to talk about the Mae Young a little bit and make maybe some predictions. We'll talk about some highlights of the women. And then we'll probably cut it short. You know, life gets in the way sometimes. This is a free podcast unless you subscribe to the Patreon, which I did put up stuff this week.
There's lots of stuff. Go subscribe to us. Patreon.com/NotYourDemoPod.
Yeah.
Yeah, get that win. Even drunk. Yeah.
So, you know, life gets in the way sometimes. Yeah. But we still wanted to give you something. So, thank you for listening. I don't know. Yeah. But bonus.
Sorry, my grandpa died.
Hilarious that you're drunk and just yelled, sorry, my grandpa died.
I mean, whatever. We've been doing this for 3 years. What can I fucking say at this point?
Three-year anniversary is around the corner.
It's your turn.
All right, well, up top, what wrestling shirt are you wearing?
I'm wearing my Wrestling Is Forever shirt, and I literally picked, I at the time did not know that my grandpa died, so I was not, like, prepared for a non-committal shirt, but I literally picked it because it was comfortable, so it's not even specific to anything this week. I was just like, God, this Wrestling Is Forever shirt is comfortable. I'm fucking wearing it. So that's what I'm wearing. What wrestling shirt are you wearing?
I'm wearing my Dean Ambrose sweatpants, and I'm going to wear them every week until he returns.
This bitch gotta come back! We watched Raw this week together, which we do not ever do. And we both were just like, where the fuck is Dean? Where's Dean Ambrose?
But here's the thing, right? Like, it's not going to be Dean. It's going to be a swerve. So here's the thing. It's like 50-50 right now. Lots of people think it's Dean. I would like to be in that camp because it should be Dean. And we knew that he was getting cleared around SummerSlam and whatever. But a lot of people think that it's also going to be Jason Jordan picking up with the things. Because remember, him and Seth were having a whole thing before he got hurt. And Jason Jordan is also slotted to be back around this time. So it could literally be either.
I forgot he existed.
Oh!
I'm not even gonna lie. I totally forgot
he existed. Sidebar, is Chad Gable alive?
Where the fuck is Chad Gable? I miss that bitch. He's the best. I would rather that Chad Gable be his unexpected partner at SummerSlam.
Well, I have some news for you.
I know it's gonna be him. I want it to be Dean. I want Jason Jordan to show up and be like, guess what, bitches, I'm back. And then Dean Ambrose comes out and is like, I'm a crazy trash possum, and I think the fuck not. That's my ultimate goal for SummerSlam. But I don't think it'll happen. Very sad.
I just wanted to meet Dean.
I miss Dean. It was weird because when Dean got hurt, we were like, man, we miss Dean immediately already. And we were like, okay, we'll settle into the fact that he's not here. And now it's been 9 months and we're like, bitch, come back. Please come back. I'm so tired of your Shield brothers. I love them. And I'm also like, please God, go away.
Okay, so we always complain about Roman, and we being the royal we of like wrestling fans.
Universal we.
This was like a slap in the face, right?
It really felt like
the Roman show.
Oh my God.
So the first segment was Kurt Angle and Baron Corbin just chit-chatting away, Kurt Angle style. that was followed by maybe one of the best video packages WWE has ever done. Not a Brock Lesnar fan, will never be a Brock Lesnar fan, even if he does a segment that I find funny. But, like, that video package deserves a fucking Emmy. I don't understand the disparate connection between how good the video people are and how fucking terrible the graphic designers are.
Because it's the same people and they don't have the same skills. That's literally what it is. Is they're like, we're very good at these things, which are awesome, and then also have to do this shit we do not know how to do. Like, graphics does not mean the same thing. You can't hire graphics for at all blanket graphics. Like, it just doesn't work. Yeah. You can really see that.
They're very good at the video.
Yeah, languages. They're super, super good
at it. I was like, I'm invested in the storyline where I hate everybody.
Absolutely, 100%. I also feel like there's something about Raw being the first show on Mondays and being 3 hours long and being a very long slog. That makes me not want to watch the rest of the week. It makes me not want to watch SmackDown. It makes me not want to watch...
SmackDown makes me want to watch wrestling.
Exactly. That's the hardest thing is it's like, it makes me not want to watch SmackDown and NXT, which are better. And like NXT and SmackDown make me want to watch Raw. And then once I get to Raw, I'm like, fuck this. I'm so bored. Like we never watch Raw together. And by the end of Raw this week, we were both like, what a fucking slog. It was so hard to get through.
I got pushed back on the KJ Twitter because I was like, you know, I'm not a big fan of these women's matches being back-to-back in the last segment. And people were like, oh, like, the men's matches are back-to-back. And it's like,
because the men are the whole motherfucking show.
That's not the point. If you're going to have only two women's matches that are telling two different stories that are very, like, different, like, you have three... in a quarter hours.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it goes to, like, 10, 15 or
and
whatever.
And we also know, too, that, like, the real main event is the Central Time 9 o'clock hour, the Eastern Time 10 o'clock hour, because that's what most people watch. Why not put the Ruby return then? Why not put Ronda's shit then?
Or why not put the Ruby return in the first hour?
It makes no sense.
Honestly, we had a friend over that was... a newbie to wrestling and was like, where are the women?
I'm literally several times like, where the fuck are the women? And it was like, you're right.
She left before the women were on.
Absolutely. And right putting, when the tag match was starting, right. She was like, I have to go. I cannot watch this.
Putting the women back to back is not like equality back to back. Like that actually deprives a lot of people from consuming the women's wrestling. Cause not
3 hours long.
Everybody watches 3 fucking hours.
Exactly. And
so
like,
if you come for me and you're like, oh, well, they're being treated like the men. And it's like,
no, they're not.
No, they're not.
They're definitely not. And also like, I thought it was very stark that the week before SmackDown was all women except for
all women
except for one match. There was only one men's match.
But there were some like segments.
Well, right. But as a wrestling show for the wrestling, there was only one men's match, which made the women feel very important, and it was their highest rated SmackDown of the fucking year.
Like, take that, all the people that are like, I don't know if a women's pay-per-view will work. Bitch, it's gonna sell out.
It's gonna be insane.
You know who's gonna be there? We are. Sidebar, if you want to subscribe to our Patreon, that's where all of our Patreon money
is. Patreon money is going towards that, so please.
Yeah, we did some number crunching and we were like, from here to here, all of our Patreon money is not going in our personal bank accounts, it's not going in our like NYD bank account, blah, blah,
blah. We're
not
buying new microphones anymore. Sorry, everyone.
We were going to upgrade microphones, but like, fuck microphones because we're
going to
go
into this.
Women.
Yeah. And
like, and then we'll cover it for you and exactly, we'll do videos and it'll be fun.
That's a thing.
There'll be lots of Patreon things.
Exactly. We'll make it work.
The Patreon will work eventually.
We're trying very hard.
So people
we're just,
like
pushing shit out now. We're manias. Like, there are 8 things in a row.
You know that we're drunk because we're over talking each other and we're just like having disparate.
We do that all the time. We just don't know.
Aaron's grandpa died.
Congratulations, my grandpa died. Now we're having an insane episode.
Usually when we drink, it's, like, progressive throughout the show. So by the end of it, we're only, like, a certain amount of people listen. Like, we're messes. But they're like, we love them. We listen anyways. But we're starting hot.
Guess what? We're drunk.
This is, like, the first, like, one of the, like, only episodes where it's like, clink. Ah, we're drunk.
We're drunk. Fucking. Anyway, yes, we want to go to this. This is an important thing to us that we go to this women's pay-per-view. But also,
emotions.
Like, SmackDown had this pay-per-view, or had this show where it was mostly women. It was the highest rated of the year. Shouldn't that tell you something about how your show should look? And then literally the next Raw after that, the following Monday, they do the opposite, where it's two women's matches smooshed into the end of the show and all men up to that. And like, what are your ratings like? Yeah. What do your ratings look right now? Was this a good idea to do the opposite of the highest rated segment? No.
Guess what brings people to your product? Is it Roman? Nah. It's ladies.
Ladies. And like,
do you remember in college when we had like a book club, but it was also like a blog that wasn't really a blog, and it was called Ladies and Books?
I absolutely do, because my shit ex at the time was like, listen, I don't think you guys can market well with all these A's in this name. I don't think people will be able to find you. And at the time I was like, bitch, how dare you? How dare you speak to us this way?
We would have been fine if we had sat on a number of A's and if we actually put content on the blog.
If there had been A's corresponding to the number of women on the blog, oh my God, that would have made sense. But too we were bad. Just like, ah!
We're not friends with anybody that was on that blog at the time.
No, we're not.
It's just me and you now. We can restart.
Oh, and pizzazz.
Pizzazz.
We could do this. Oh, we drunk, y'all. Other women stuff. Let's talk about other women from this week. You looked at me like you thought I was going to say something. I'm not.
I forgot about all of the wrestling. Oh, let's talk about that bomb ass segment on Lucha Underground where Ty and Johnny were playing Indiana Jones. And then they fucking cut off Vibra's head.
I was shocked. Of all the people in the Lizard Tribe, was not expecting that. Like, he for sure felt the one who was going to make it. Although I will say, because...
And Taya saved Johnny. Because yeah. Johnny was about to die via Vibra and, like, python choke.
Yeah.
And Taya, like, wakes up from being knocked out and grabs her Wera Loca bat and, like, looks at him and, like, fucking nails Vibra. And then they cut off his head.
I also feel like... He had that, like, green goo come out of
a snake.
Well, because he's a snake, but I feel like maybe that will indicate that he's not for real dead.
Everyone, maybe he'll regrow his head.
Yeah, yes, exactly. He might be very lizard-like and regrow his head, and, like, he already has a new mask. Maybe he'll have a different new mask at the end of this.
That's a good point.
It feels very much like everyone else who's dead is dead. It's like the
lights. Well, we know that Big Rick is dead because Katrina was like,
fucking skull!
Yo, bitch! Your cousin's skull.
I'm the Fonz. Here's this locker. Here's your goddamn cousin's skull. Absolutely.
There's like a death swirl around you. Also, I put your cousin's skull in your head, in your locker. Bye.
Fuck you, bitch.
Also, I love that Magma, his reaction to that was laughable. He was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Big Rick. Yeah, in the opening when they were showing so many clips of Big Rick, I was like, yeah, where the fuck is Big Rick?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Oh, he's been dead in this locker the whole time.
It's because they killed him off in the comic book that was between two of the seasons. Oh. I did not know that either until I read... I was like, there's gotta be something. And so I looked it up, and he was killed in the comic books, and so that's why that happened.
Cool, cool, cool.
So, yeah, I wish we could have maybe known that in the actual show if we weren't reading comic books, but I understand.
Also, really cool moment when Cobra Moon at the beginning of the episode when, like, Daga and PJ Black were fighting, and then PJ Black, or Daga won, and then Cobra, like, stood over PJ Black and just did that, like, visceral, like, scream to call the rest of the tribe to her. That was dope.
I also like, too, that she's like, oh, if you win this match, I'll give you a wish. Like, so bitch, you magic too? What? How did that happen?
Women are magic.
Women are magic. Absolutely. That's the theme of this week. The women are goddamn magic, and we just, that's how it is.
Yeah, that was dope of Cobra, and I want to know her magic.
I want to know her magic. I want to know if her magic can bring Fibro back. I'm very interested in what they do next with them.
If the Reptile Tribe wins, Worldwide Underground pledges allegiance to the Reptile Tribe.
Yes.
Specifically Johnny. But if Johnny wins, any wish your heart desires.
What could that be? I feel like they definitely have to win. And also, what does that mean?
Yeah.
I'm very interested.
Also, like, how badass of Tile to just be like,
I love that it was her too. I love that it was
Loca.
Yeah, I like that it was her that was like, I'm badass.
Don't tell anybody we were here. Did Drago. It's really funny watching.
I thought they were going to cut Drago's head off.
I know.
Like, I knew someone died. It was clear that someone was going to, that was going to happen, because that's Lucha. That's kind of what happens in these, Lucha, like, Lucha. Last segment, like, someone's gonna die. And so I really thought it was gonna be Drago, because he's kind of old and is like slowing down on the wrestling. Like, I really felt like it was gonna be him. And then all of a sudden, like, bam, Vibero, gone. Fuck you, bitch. You got a new mask? How dare you?
How dare you?
How dare you?
I think it's really funny to watch Impact and Lucha at the same time, knowing that there's a lot of people similar on both.
Overlapped, yeah.
Because Johnny's character on Lucha is... great wrestler, Slam Town. It was hilarious when they all said Slam Town.
Yeah.
Cuts off Reptile's heads, will literally do anything for the win, like slimy, slime ball. But on Impact, he's like, I came here to like prove that wrestling was like a valid art form, and that I'm here to like win the championship and like make a name for myself, and like Congo Kong's just here to be like a monster and a dick. And it's like, but you're a
Who
dick.
Are you?
You're a good guy here? I mean, yeah, but he did punch Jimmy Jacobs right in the face.
That's not a good guy.
Well, Jimmy Jacobs
is a bad guy.
Jimmy Jacobs is a bad guy, and he's Congo Kong's. How dare you lay a finger on the princess?
The zombie princess is good no matter what.
Because he got up in Johnny's face and was like, Congo Kong is gonna, and Johnny was like,
bitch, how dare.
I want the monster. Goodbye. Which was a great segment, honestly. I love
it. I'm into it.
I guess we're talking about Impact now.
Are there any other women's segments that are important?
Yes, there was a really good, the opening match was Allie and Kira Hogan versus Sue and her bridesmaid, her maid of honor, who is Casey Spinelli.
I love
And you
that
also know
Casey
this
Spinelli.
Because the whole audience was chanting, Casey, Casey, because Casey Spinelli is Canadian, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually.
Who knows? I'm drunk and I made that up, maybe. She's got a Jersey vibe, but is from Canadian. Canadian?
Yeah, I was going to say, if I had to guess, she's either from Canadian or from New Jersey.
Oh, to be from Canadian. This was a fun match. There was a really cool segment right at the beginning where Allie and Kira took out Sue and Casey, and they were on the outside of the ring. And then Allie called for Kira to like do a tope suicida. And so she hit Casey and she was on top of Casey, but then Casey kind of like crumpled herself up, and then all the other bridesmaids like started to hound Kira on the outside of the ring, and it was like, oh fuck. And Don Callis at one point was like, I don't like this. I don't want them to come near us. Like, I don't like that they're moving.
I don't like that they're moving.
He didn't say that, but it's like essentially what he said.
I wish that he had.
I don't like that they're moving.
That's a hilarious thing to say.
The rest of the match was like, oh, it was a good match, but it was, you know, whatever. Allie did pin Sue, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because Allie's whole thing last week was like, Sue's not going to put anybody else in coffins. Like, I'm going to end her reign of terror. I'm going to end her reign of terror. It's hard to do this drunk, dude.
I'm going to end her reign of terror. Like the United States of Terror.
Like a terraformed planet. I don't know.
Terrible.
You're terrible.
Anyway.
The point is Allie was celebrating her win, and then Tessa came out and beat the shit out of her.
Because Tessa's a bitch.
Because Tessa's the best, and Tessa said, I'm going to make an example out of you, and then did her little, like, foot swipe where she's like, you're trash. And Don Callis said something to the effect of, I wouldn't want to be a knockout in the same division as Tessa. Oof. That's terrifying.
Yes.
And then after this match, she had a backstage promo, essentially, where she was like, Allie's a joke. I'm here. I'm going to make an example out of her because, like, she's not what wrestling is. I am what wrestling is.
I'm undeniable.
I'm fucking undeniable.
Ugh.
Tessa.
Oh, so good.
That was essentially it for the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
There was a... The final match, oh, I guess there was a Scarlet match, or a Scarlet thing, not a match.
No Genius anymore?
I still think it might be Genius. I don't like it. I want to make this clear. I don't like it. There was like a chubby old guy who was like, his name was Bob Kapoor or something. I don't know, who cares. But he was like, I'm here to introduce Scarlet. She came out and did her like smoke show. Her music, bomb. Her music's real good. Her sexy body movement is kind of weird, though. Like, she could stand and take a dance class.
Girl.
But he couldn't get it together. He kept being like, Scarlett, so, you're on the knockouts. And she was like, oh, my God, you're so cute. Oh, my God. And she was doing that, like, dumb flirting thing. And she was like, what's your name? And he was like, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, Bobo, what a cute name.
Gross.
I'll not be hot shamed. Whatever.
Oh.
That's the whole thing.
Hot shamed?
Hot shamed. She'll not be hot shamed. I reserve the right to make a judgment call on this until she's in the ring and until the storyline progresses further. This has only been 2 weeks. I have faith in Jimmy Jacobs. I have faith in Gil Kim. I know that Scarlett actually cares about wrestling. I do hate her.
That's the hardest thing.
I hate everything about it, but I reserve the right to be wrong.
Yeah, I feel like... I
also
sometimes so torn.
Somebody has a butt so good that you want them to be good.
She's got such a good butt, like
which is her whole thing. We can't hot shame her. She got a good butt.
Literally, maybe the best butt I've ever seen on a white girl. Like legit, might be.
Legitimately, if it is real, which I think it is.
I think it is too.
It's for sure the best butt on a white girl.
For sure, definitely. She just has like a supernaturally great beautiful, ass for thick white girl. Thighs. Yeah, for sure. She's like built like she has a good white girl ass, and I'm like, it's so wasted.
But maybe it won't be.
But maybe it's not.
Maybe it'll be genius.
I don't know. I want to interview this woman and be like, "Tell us your secrets.
What
are you a genius?" Reveal yourself.
Reveal yourself. One other thing I want to talk about, there was the Lucha Brothers versus the Chris Brothers in the main event. It was a good match. They're all good wrestlers, whatever. Lucha Brothers won, obviously. What the fuck is this?
I don't know. I pulled it up off of the table and was like, is this weed? I don't know.
What do you mean up off the table?
I like pulled it up off the table. It literally looks like weed. I cannot tell.
Might be.
It might be weed. Did I just pull weed out of nose?
It seems like your superpower.
The universe is like, you're sad? This seriously looks like weed.
I think I might leave this uncut.
Did Nick leave a bunch of weed on? It literally looks like weed. I can't tell.
I don't know. It looks like wet paper to me.
No, see, yeah, it looks like paper. It's black in here. There's no way this is weed.
I think it's just wet paper, Aaron.
I don't understand where it came from.
I don't either. I clean my house all the time. I know it doesn't seem like
this wet paper looks like weed.
I'm leaving this episode uncut.
Good. You should, because this is fucking weird. It looks like a pile of weed. It's not.
It's not.
My grandpa died and I don't even get free universe weed. I don't understand.
Oh, no. Anyways, the Chris Brothers lost to the Lucha Brothers, but the best part about this whole thing is that Sami Callihan is distraught and yelling, and it's like, I hate you. I hate you guys.
I have new hair and I'm upset.
The internet is saying I look weird, but I don't really care, but I care and I hate you guys.
He looks so much better though. I don't understand. He looks so much better.
So like, much better.
Shockingly better.
So much better.
Cut. This terrible.
How? Women on NXT. Two things that are important about NXT. That Shayna Candice LeRae match was
Uh-huh.
I'm like all in on Shayna. It's Shayna's birthday
I've really
today.
Come around
Happy
on her.
Birthday, Shayna.
Happy birthday, Ace of Spades.
She posted a picture of her with the NXT Championship with her arms open, and she said, I'm prepared to receive your blood sacrifice.
I will give you a blood sacrifice, Shayna. Absolutely. You've earned it.
You know what, Shayna? You've earned your blood sacrifice.
Absolutely. I'll pick my finger. It's fine.
You know, I don't listen to Not Your Demographic. Their voices.
Their voices are really irritating, and they have this like,
the more you get blood sacrifices, the higher your voice gets.
We clearly have a lot of blood sacrifices.
Oh my goodness.
Welcome people who already like us.
Yeah, this is a mess of an episode. Shayna wins, then attacked. Candice put up a good fight, but Shayna won. Then started to attack Candice after the match, after she had already won. But then Kairi came out and was like, not on my pirate ship.
Not in my ocean.
I'm the captain of this ring.
She comes out with her little steering ship and is like, I'm steering this ship, right? Thank you very much.
Hard to starboard. Is that a place on a yes. ship? We discussed earlier off mic how I like trains and don't care about boats.
You said planes earlier, but also boats.
Like, but also planes and boats are trash. And honestly, why don't we have more of a love affair with trains? And how did we go from beautiful, intricate, wonderful, like, pieces of machinery to, like, weird, fucking awful trains? I miss
ye olde. Boats are pretty dope.
Good old trains. I don't know. I'm afraid of the ocean. I'm afraid of big bodies of water. I don't like sharks. That new movie, I'm so torn because, like, do I want to fuck Jason? Meg? Do I want to fuck Jason Statham? Yes. Am I afraid of sharks? Yes.
Absolutely. I'm excited for the Meg. I'm definitely going to see it in IMAX because I want to see a giant ass shark. It's going to be fucking cool.
Weird poll. I love that movie Crank. With Jason Statham.
Like, I was just gonna say, I was on a boat last weekend and had the most white person accident of being pulled into a boat motor, and now I have a giant bruise on my leg. If I showed you this, it's huge. It's so big. I have this giant fucking bruise. Here, I'm just gonna show you. We're on this weird podcast.
We're also like not set up right, so we're like hitting the table a bunch, so the audio on this must be terrible. Let's
see if I can get this up. Get it up.
That's not great. At least your leg didn't slice in half.
It's all up here.
I don't really know what motors do.
It's like a...
We've established that I care about trains. It's like a
cigar size, basically. Yeah, Michael was... I was getting beer. Of course, the most fucking white trash reason to get injured on a boat.
No, it's the most Aaron thing to get reason about.
The most Aaron reason to get injured on a boat. I was in the water. Michael was sitting up in the boat. Hot tip. My husband can't swim, and so he doesn't go in the water. Do you know that?
Hilarious.
Yeah, can't swim. He got thrown into a pool as a kid, into the deep end, and was like, I'm traumatized, I can't fucking do this. Traumatized?
Does he just wear a life vest the whole time?
Doesn't go into the water, basically. Just
yeah, but like, what happens if he went into the water?
I would save him.
But what if you were preoccupied with the Meg?
That's a great question.
You should wear a life vest.
When we have children, I will learn
or how floaties.
I will get a driver's license and he'll learn how to swim. Because he was like, I don't want you to not be able to take our child to the hospital in a car. And I was like, yeah, good point. And I was like, I don't want our child to fall off a dock and die because you can't save them. And he was like, oh, great point. So we're both learning new skills when we have kids. But he's in this boat and he's handing me a beer and he's like joking around like, I'm your husband. I'm going to like pull this back from you. We're going to like joke around a little. So he's like pulling the beer back from me and I'm holding onto it. And I just slammed into the motor of this boat. Like I was in the back of it, wasn't paying attention. It was just like, blah, right into it. And I have this giant fucking bruise now.
Boats are trash.
Boats are trash. I love them, but they're trash.
Kyrie versus Shayna, round 3 should be good.
I agree. I think it's going to be very good. I don't know who will win.
I don't know either.
I feel like NXT has set this up in a way that it's very possible Kyrie might win. And you know what? Even if her character has been boring and has been stuck in this. I can
see it live.
Yeah, it'll be like exciting and it'll feel like such a change of pace that I don't even think it will be bad even if they haven't built Kyrie's character in a great way. I think that transitioning from Shayna to Kyrie will be exciting enough that it won't matter.
I think that's a good point.
And they're doing enough with the men's division that is exciting and, like, crazy in many ways. Crazy is a bad word, but, like, bananas in enough ways that the women's title switching in this kind of inevitable feeling way will not feel weird. Especially because Kyrie beat her in the final of the Mae Young, which is now restarting. Like, right. It feels especially appropriate.
Speaking of NXT TakeOver, so Ciampa addressed the audience and... you know, was doing his Ciampa thing. He sat cross-legged like Aleister Black in the ring. It was a whole thing. Aleister Black came out, was starting to confront him. Then Johnny came out, ran past him, attacked Ciampa, got Ciampa out of the ring. And then Aleister fucking hit Johnny and was like, you know what? You're right.
You're a bitch.
You're the only reason that I lost this championship. But, sad sidebar.
Yeah.
Aleister Black is out with a bad, like, groin injury.
Yeah.
Guess you can't kick people real hard a lot, or else you hurt your
in the face, yeah. You can kick them in the shins and be fine, but you kick them in the face, you're gonna fuck your fucking groin up. Like, that's how it works. Which so that sucks.
Yeah, I don't know if they're gonna address it tonight on the TakeOver show. I bet they'll probably not address it tonight, because it, like, was released
relatively soon. It'll be next week, probably. It'll be
next week, right before the go-home show. But that's just too bad. But I did really like this confrontation between Alistair and Johnny.
Yes, I really enjoyed this. And I really enjoyed it. It feels appropriate. That. And also, like, even if the way it shakes out is that Alistair is injured for this takeover, like, he can come back even if, say, Johnny wins the belt from Ciampa and come back and have this new interesting storyline they weren't planning on, which I find more interesting. Like, I'm more interested in Alistair Black versus Johnny than I am in him versus Ciampa. Like, Ciampa is a bad guy. Ciampa exists in this bad guy space. He's had this really established, like, the fact that he beat Alistair was shocking in many ways, but, like, we said, Alistair didn't really need the belt, and so it felt appropriate that Tommaso took it. And so I feel like the aftermath feud of Alistair versus Johnny has way more interesting possibilities than it does of Ciampa versus, like, Alistair versus Ciampa feels like it's inevitably going to end to Ciampa versus Johnny again because they need this rubber match. But now we get this right away, and then we get this open-ended back end of it, which I like a lot. Like,
I loved
it. It could be Ciampa with the belt after him and Johnny face off in Brooklyn, or it could be Johnny, and either way, I feel like they have this new open-ended possibilities, which are very exciting.
But the thing with Aleister Black, and part of the reason that it, like, who knows how long he'll be out, but the whole thing with him always has been, like, I'm not good, I'm not evil, whatever. But he has been a good guy.
He is a good guy, yes.
But him coming out and focusing on Johnny versus Ciampa is like, yeah, I'm not good, I'm not evil.
I'm gray. I'm very gray.
I'm mad.
Yes, exactly.
Which was nice. And I really like that.
Yeah, totally agree.
Let's talk about Raw, baby. But only the ladies and CrossFit brings us.
So we can skip the first 2.5 hours of this motherfucking show?
But we do have to talk about CrossFit
Breezes. Okay, listen, CrossFit Breezes was amazing. I'm really glad that they're giving Tyler and also, like,
fuck you, Roman. I wasn't, like, that mad at you, Roman, before. Like, you're on my TV.
But now I'm like, bitch, please.
You deprived me of CrossFit Breezes.
And also, scoffed? You scoffed?
How dare.
Tyler Breeze?
How dare.
How dare you?
Honestly, fuck you.
Fuck you. 100%. I'm already annoyed with this Brock fucking drag on.
I've always been like, everyone's feelings about Roman are, like, over-exaggerated. Like, whatever. I get it. I kind of feel like, but whatever.
Well, they're exaggerated and valid. Both is true.
How dare you fuck with Tyler Breeze?
How dare? It was like him reacting poorly to the B team, where it was like, why is this the hill you're dying on?
B team, go, go, go! B team, go, go, go!
I love it. I love it. I think it's fantastic. But it's in the same thing where, like, Roman was like, ugh, B team, gross. And now with Tyler Breeze is like, ugh, Breezes, gross. Like, bitch, do you not understand who your audience is? It's women! Women are into this!
I'm
cracking the table, like, bitch, how dare you!
I really liked the juxtaposition of the, like, cool-ass music and the B-Team, and I get why some people really prefer that. But B-Team is so, like,
they're so fun!
Cute and fun and, like, genuine. And honestly, giving the audience is over on them, but anytime you can give the audience something to participate with it and the, like, punch to the air, go, 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 like,
people are into that.
That shit gets over.
Absolutely, 100%.
People love audience participation.
Fucking really do. So we were talking live about Bobby Roode and about how, like, I think his entrance has really saved him, even though he's been poorly used on the main roster.
Right.
Literally, I think being able to do the glorious thing has saved him in a way that if he didn't have a good entrance, he would be completely washed. He would be
on... He did win this week, though.
Right. He would be on the release radar if he did not have a fucking great, engaging entrance. And it's because...
Also, he's a better wrestler than people give him credit for.
Well, yes, but the way that they use him specifically, I feel like if he did not have the glorious entrance, he would be way closer to the chopping block than he is. Yeah.
Two things we should talk about. Okay. Drew Boo was hot, as always.
As always.
He won with Dolph. They'll probably lose at SummerSlam, but, like, give me thigh meat or give me death!
Just get rid of Ziggler. Get rid of... Make him a manager.
Get rid of him. Speaking of managers, Paul Heyman has feelings.
That bitch looked like a hot-ass mess this week. My goodness.
Such a good segment,
though. It was so good. I'm really, really glad that it's not official that he insisted that Renee do this, but it is very rumored that he was like, Renee will do this. And that's excellent. Like, Paul understands how this business works
In a way that most people don't.
Exactly. And regardless of who he's paired up with, regardless of what WWE does with him, that bitch gets it. He fucking understands how this business works. He understands what it means to engage an audience. He understands what it means to pull another character into the segment that you're doing. And the fact that he was like, Renee is the right person. Straight up. Up and down, man or woman, doesn't matter. She's the best. Fucking have her do this. And the fact that she could interact with him in a way that was like, I feel weird about the fact that you're crying, yet I'm a professional and yeah. I'm gonna do this thing and I'm gonna have the lady voice and I'm a little worried. Also, she nailed it. She fucking nailed it.
Also him being like a little aggressive with her. Like, yes. Just ask the question, Renee. Right. Ask me what you want to ask me. Like, she handled that really well. Like, exactly. He handled it really well. It was nice to see him be so vulnerable. But like, Paul Heyman gets it in, like, he gets the world of professional wrestling, but he also can execute it, which is a lot of people can't do both.
Exactly.
And yes. He can do both. And this was just a prime example of, like, and I've said for the past couple months, mostly because I'm, like, super sick of Brock, but, like, I love Paul Heyman. I acknowledge his importance. I think he's very talented, but, like, I can live without him right now. But this was a moment where I was like, Paul Heyman's, like, second to none.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes me really hope that past fucking Brock, he'll be around doing other things. And, like, I understand he was poorly used in the past before they made him, like, permanent to Brock with, like, Cesaro, for example. Right. Like, I understand that they tried and didn't do a great job. I hope now Paul is like, no, bitch. Put me with this person. Put me with that person. And can have a little more say in, I can make this work. And if he had that before, it's clear that they didn't let the storyline be dictated by what he wanted. And I feel like now it will be. If yeah. he chooses to be with someone, it feels like they're more willing to let him fly and have space with a person that he chooses to be their advocate for. And anyone will benefit from that. Literally anybody on the entire fucking roster is going to benefit from Paul Heyman being on their side. And this really felt that way. It didn't feel like, for the last couple of months, it's felt very much like Paul is friends with Brock. And I'm really glad that they addressed that. And then it was like, bitch, we ain't friends. We are not friends.
I watch the show, Paul.
I'm going to disconnect my phone for 7 days because fuck you, LOL.
I hate you.
Yeah, and so I feel like making this part of the Raw storyline makes Paul a more accessible manager for other people. And like, especially doing the Every Mania Ever series, we've become very aware of how good Bobby Heenan is. Like, I knew you were not an old-timey wrestling person that was not
a
person
know,
you,
shit.
Yeah, you weren't like connected with him in any way. I feel like now after watching 6 Manias, we're like, this dude's fucking great. He fucking gets it. He understands.
He's got a family.
Well, he connects. Yeah, exactly. He makes this family. He connects with these people. He makes these people fucking better. And managers really need that in today. I feel like it is very overlooked that managers can have more than one client. And I feel like right now we are poised to have Paul have a family. Paul feels like he is
Paul
in.
Paul needs a family.
Paul needs a family. Absolutely. I feel like
he Paul, can be. Paul, what's your family?
He can be in a place where, like, he has this person and that person and this tag team and this singles competitor and this lady. Like, he can pull this in and make a family in a way that uses him effectively. Right now, he's just Brock's bitch. And right now, he's just Brock's sad bitch. And I don't need this from Paul forever. Right now, I like sad Paul bitch. I'm into that.
I love sad Paul bitch.
I'm into just sad bitch Paul. I'm into this. But going forward from here past SummerSlam, what I want is for him to do the Bobby Heenan. I really want him to pull in and have more people in his family that's not Brock. And I feel like if he doesn't disconnect from Brock fully, we'll never get that. Exactly. So I'm really hopeful that we're moving in the right. It feels like Paul is pushing it in the right direction. Paul gets it. Paul is part of this company in a way that's not just Brock. Solo to Brock. Exactly. Like IRL, friends with Brock. Clearly. They're clearly friends in real life. But I really want him to embrace his wrestling persona is, again, I don't just want him to be Paul is Brock's friend. I really do want him to be ousted from Brock completely and have a new group. I think it's really important for him. And if he's not going to do that, I just want him to leave. And that's fine too. He's done a shitload of work. He's worked in this company and he's worked for ECW for fucking ever. And if now's the time, now's the time. That's okay. I'm fine with that too. This is a good ending for him if that's the case. But if not, I'm excited to move him to other people. I think it's a really good place for him to be in.
Ruby Riott is back!
Ruby! Jessica Havoc taught her how to have hair.
I mean, Jessica Havoc, I love her. I really do.
I get it.
And yes, she said some things before that were not great.
She apologized.
She fully apologized.
She made a good apology, too.
She made a good apology, not a non-apology.
Yeah.
And I've had great interactions with her, and, like, I choose to be a Jessica fan, and that is a line that wasn't crossed for me. Whatever. We don't have to talk about it. But her and Ruby were hanging out. They posted a picture, and, like, they both had the red extensions,
yes,
which was nice. Though sometimes Jessica's extensions don't look great.
Also, I can't tell if
But, Ruby's, like, it also works for her character that they're, like, crazy.
I can't tell if Ruby's are extensions or whether she's just dyed her hair.
Because her hair was not that long. They're definitely extensions.
It was, though.
It wasn't that long. Was long, but it wasn't that long.
Well, before she got injured, which was...
I will fight you. Those are extensions.
I mean, I would agree that they're, because they're colored, they are. I think that because her hair was long, she may have...
I mean, they smooth really nicely.
Yeah, exactly.
Hair is at a point, if I put in extensions that went just, like, past my boobs, you would not be able to tell.
Right, they're only, like, an inch or two longer.
My normal hair is, like, touching the tops of my nips. If I put extensions in that just went right past my boobs, you'd be like, is that real hair?
But Ruby also was clearly growing her real hair out before she got hurt.
Just talking about my nips.
I mean, that's fine. That's how this podcast works. But before she got injured, her hair was...
No, it was hella long.
Was clearly naturally long. And so that's what makes me think it might not be extensions.
It looks dope.
But just the fact that she dyed part of her hair, even if it's not all extensions, clearly part of her real hair is dyed. Like, she's made this transition into, like, I'm going to do this. I love it.
I disagree. I think all the color is extensions.
I mean, it could be. I think there's too much color to all be extensions for how long her hair was before.
I don't even think you know how extensions work.
I mean, maybe both. That's probably both true. There's just so
nice
much of it.
To see her back.
Yes, I agree. It was nice to have her dressed up as an audience member. I really enjoyed that.
Though I'm really happy how they utilized the Riott Squad in her
absolutely
absence.
100%. I feel like they really treated them like they were fucking important. And you know what? Not just treated them like they were important, made them more important as a tag team over the time that she was gone. So then when she came back, it was like, yeah, I'm part of this bad bitch squad. This is who I am. This is, I exist in this place. It wasn't like the, I almost called them the Ascension. That's not the right name. The other lady squad that used to have Paige in it.
Submission Sorority?
That's not right either. That's Becky and Charlotte and Paige.
Absolution.
Absolution. I thought at first that it was going to be like Absolution where, like, oh, she's gone and now we have this, like, weird double lady team that this happens. But it doesn't feel that way with the Riott Squad. Like, Absolution felt that way where we've had this disconnect. But Riott Squad feels very much like she's back. This is a fucking trio. We were just waiting for her to come back. Whereas Paige is like, I've moved to a different position. You guys are these different ladies. We exist in these different spaces.
Different ladies.
Yeah. It's interesting that they introduced Absolution and Riott Squad as basically identical mirror characters.
And everyone was like, the Riott Squad is the worser of the two.
And is not,
the
for sure.
The more worst? I don't know.
The more worst. It's the more worst of the two teams.
I'm drunk, but we ran out of booze, so I'm going to get sober.
Okay. It's fine. We can do that. We're almost done. So I feel like it's really nice, especially to see Ruby return and be like, oh, that's right. You are a solid fucking faction. That's how you exist. I'm really into that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. And I also like that Bailey and Sasha could lose without turning on each other.
Absolutely. And it's
a good sign for their tag team.
Absolutely. 100%. And I like, too, that they have merch now.
Even if it's the worst merch.
It may be a Y2AJ style.
It's better than that.
No,
but
no,
it's
I mean,
so bad.
Like, where they made it and then, like, a week later they broke up, where it was like, we're doing this as a, like, a full swerve. Maybe.
Swerve.
Maybe. But it doesn't feel that way.
It doesn't feel that way.
I really feel like they're a tag team and that's what's fucking happening. Even in the SmackDown with Becky and Charlotte versus the Iconics,
we're not Sasha and Bailey. We're friends.
Exactly.
We're living in a bizarre world where Sasha and Bailey are friends and Charlotte and Becky are going to feud.
I'm into that. I like it.
I'm super into it.
I super like it. I think it's great. And so I think it's also interesting to see these juxtapositions of, like, oh, so this division exists, We just haven't made it official with the belt yet. Like, right. it really feels like, before it was like, whatever, fuck these women, throw them together. We're going to have this 8-man tag, whatever. Now it feels like these are divisions. This is a women's tag division. We have women who are women's tag wrestlers. And I'm into that. And I think it's great. And I also feel like I understand that they are different brands, but there are always superstar shakeups. And it really, really feels like we're building to Hug and Boss Connections versus the Iconics. Like, Iconics are dominating in a way that most other women's tag teams don't. And Hug and Boss Connection are clearly set up to do the same thing.
But if they meet at Evolution, they don't even need to be on the same roster.
Exactly. Yes. So they can, like, build up these simultaneous things and then have this meeting at Evolution. And then also past that, maybe the Iconics get traded. Maybe Hug and Boss gets traded. Maybe Iconics just show up and are like, bitch, we're on this other team and we don't even give a fuck. Give us these goddamn belts. Like, all of these things feel like possibilities, and the fact that all of them feel like possibilities feels like a giant improvement in what the women's division has been, even for the last 3 years. Like, it I'm just gonna throw this out there real quick. We're coming up on our 3-year anniversary. It is shocking how much has changed.
In, like, 3 years.
Truly, it is shocking how much has changed. And, like, there are a lot of reasons. There are a lot of people who push for this. There are a lot of podcasts that push for this. But part of it is, like, there are just a lot of women out here
who are also, like, a lot of superstars who push for it.
Well, yeah, but that's what I mean, is there are a lot of women who are like, this is our space. Fucking let us have this shit. It is time, and we are tired of being told it's not possible because you don't think it's possible.
You're a bunch of nerds.
Because you're a bunch of fucking douchebag dicks. Like, it really feels like WWE has understood and embraced the fact that women matter in your divisions, and if you make equal divisions, your ratings will go up because you're tapping into a market that spends a shitload of money. Like, I know that sounds really stupid and lame in a lot of ways, but it's true. Women spend more money than men do. And if you give women something to give a fuck about, your company makes more money. If you're not pressing towards a female audience, you're making a giant fucking mistake.
Yep.
Women spend money. We vote with our money. We've said that from the beginning of our fucking podcast. Like, vote with your goddamn money. And women do that in a way that I think WWE has found undeniable at this point of, we have to address this. And I feel like the Iconics and Hug and Boss Connection and the tea of Becky and Charlotte, like, really show that. I saw
WWE tweeted Fire and Flare, which is a better name.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
It was Tea Generation X, which is a terrible name.
No.
It was also Woo Fire at one point. No. Fire and Flare is a way
better name. Fire and Flare is a great name. But it's also one of those things where, like, I can see them. It kind of felt immediately like Hug and Boss Connection is going to immediately break up because that's the story they've been telling for fucking ever. But also,
40 years.
4 years. 4 years! But the Fire and Flare connection doesn't feel that way.
The Fire and Flare connection.
I feel like it will, if it breaks down, it will feel more shocking.
If it catches fire.
It burns to the ground. It'll feel more shocking than if Bailey and Sasha break up because we're like, we kind of like understand that they have this feud coming up, but for some reason this immediate breakup.
But do they?
Well, they have this three.
Because it feels like they don't anymore.
Well, they have this three-way coming up at SummerSlam. So yes, they do still have this.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Sasha.
No.
I was like, because do they anymore? Because I don't think they do.
No, I don't think that they do anymore either because they're trying to establish them as a tag team competitor. And then after they win the belt,
but you were
then
they'll break up.
Yes. Fire and Flare. The Fire and Flare connection.
Fire Flare.
I feel like with them, it presents a more immediate opportunity for, we're a tag team. We have this immediate fight coming up. We can break this tag team up in a way that we cannot necessarily do with Hug and Boss because we fucked it up for so long that I feel like they've kind of figured out how to send this women's division in the right direction. And it's shocking. And also, like, I'm really excited for this, and it makes me more mad that Raw was 2.5 hours of men, that they're setting up this wonderful story for this division and then doing fuck all with it until the last 30 minutes of the show. Like, it seems bizarre.
They let Ronda wrestle for, like, 4 seconds. Okay, so here's the thing.
Okay, let's get to this. We're having like a full ass episode about this.
I know. Hilarious. It was weird that Foxy came out to Alexa's music. But then was nice.
Bullshit. It was bullshit.
It was super bullshit. It was super bullshit. But then it was nice that it was like, well, Alexa is giving this like introduction about Foxy, about how she's so great and how she's important.
Better, blah, blah,
blah. Blah, blah, blah. But then it became clear during the Ronda Rousey match, she's like, yeah, you may have been here for 10 years and you're really important and blah, 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 blah. But we're comfortable sacrificing you to this woman who dangerously wrestles.
Yes.
And there's been this debate like, ooh, Ronda Rousey's style is so interesting. And like new fans are excited about it. And old fans, it's like edge of their seat. Like to me, as somebody who watches too much and makes me want to pull my eyebrow hairs out because I watch so much wrestling, it looked dangerous and pulled me out of it.
Yeah. Because all like, I could think of the whole time was, she's going to fuck her up.
I'm concerned for the person that is Alicia.
Yes, exactly.
Because this looks scary. It looks really scary.
She's fucking throwing her around like, I'm going to disconnect your goddamn arm. I really felt that way.
MMA for a reason. And this is scary to me. And I don't like it.
I understand how as a casual fan, you can watch this and be like, whoa, oh, this is rough.
Cool, Ronda Rousey forever. Also, Rousey. Sidebar, Ronda's name does not have an H. Fucking stop.
Stop spelling it with an H.
You fucking idiot.
It makes me so mad.
Not that you guys are the idiots, but like, seriously, stop.
Universal you, stop fucking doing it. It's very annoying. Also, maybe annoying that Ronda spells her name without an H because that is how it's actually spelled, but learn to spell her name correctly. I mean, like, come on. I don't give a fuck about
it's
Ronda.
It's the least you can
do. And I'm like, come on, guys. Come on.
Come on.
But yeah, I agree. I found... It has been very hard to watch Ronda Rousey as for someone you. Who... I feel like, especially for me, I'm not even just someone who watched MMA. I followed her career
right,
when
you
she
were
was,
like an actual fan
I was
from the beginning.
An actual fan when she was 16 and she was in the Olympics. I watched her jiu-jitsu stuff. Like, that shit was a big deal for me. And so to watch her become an MMA fighter was hard, where it was like, man, I'm really into this. I really want you to do good. And then like, man, this is... rough. This division doesn't give a fuck about women. The only reason that you're pushed is because Dana White has a hard-on for you. Like, it's been very hard to watch her.
I mean, Dana White has a hard-on for her, and she is conventionally pretty, but she also, like...
But that's the thing. I don't get that.
I know you don't, but she is. I know you don't personally get it, but she is.
Yeah, I get that other people think that. But I personally don't.
I don't want to... I'm not an MMA person, and I get that she is not as good as many of the people and women that have come before and after her, but I don't think that she was, like, the worst. Like, she did earn her place in some sense,
part of the reason,
right?
Well, the reason that she earned her place in MMA as a woman, as a bantamweight fighter, is because Dana White explicitly said, I don't want women in MMA. I don't think that they're good. I don't think they can do this. And then he fell in love with Ronda, not like romantically, as far as we know, but like fell in love with the idea of Ronda as an MMA character and built a division around women who could lose to her. That really is what it is. And that makes people mad. But like,
she still did beat them. Like, yes.
Sort of. Well,
it wasn't like a fake fight. Like, it was a real fight, but she was just fed people.
Exactly. That's what it is that she's been
but
fed
it's not
people.
Necessarily her fault. I'm not defending her. I just want to say, like,
I totally agree.
She did work really hard.
Exactly.
She
did
might
work.
Be a shitty person and blah, blah, blah. But like,
it's just that she's been built as an athlete in a way that I think many people don't understand that is not warranted. Like, she was built as, she is the baddest woman on the planet. She is the best MMA fighter. She is the best bantamweight women's division fighter. And like, no. Straight up no. It's not true. And so I feel like that has almost hindered her in many ways going into WWE, where she was built as this woman of, you are
She's the best.
You are the baddest bantamweight women's fighter of all time. And then now she gets to WWE and is like, oh, I can make these same skills applicable. I can learn to be good in the way that I learned to transition from jiu-jitsu into MMA as a top-tier fighter, as a video game cover, as a woman who is known as this thing. And then that's not true because you're now in a division with women who are way better, way, 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 way better than you are and have had so much more training and have been told for generations that they were shit and have learned to get over that in the same way that she learned to get over women cannot be in MMA.
Right.
But that happened 30 years ago and you can't pick up 30 years of I'm not great attitude in training in 2 months. You just can't. It's just not how that works. And so I feel like that's the big disconnect with her is she's like, I did this thing in women's athletics that no one has ever done. But you're not that person in wrestling. Women have been doing this for generations of trying to break past this idea that women aren't allowed in this group and that women are not good enough to fit this. And now you've shown up and are the same level as the divas were. Honestly, if she had showed up 8 years ago, fucking best in the division. Absolutely. I would have been all about Ronda. Would have been into it. Would have been like, you're a fucking athlete. You exist in a dimension that these women don't. But you're too late. You're just too late. And I'm sorry, but that's how it is. Like,
I don't think she can't catch up.
I don't think she can catch up either. But I think that
the officials like this style.
Exactly.
Which is not, exactly. I'm not a fan of.
And I feel like because she has this cushion of you were the best woman in this division for so long,
right.
She's now carried that over and WWE has carried that over into a place that's not realistic. And yes, you are very good for how little training you've had. And you're very good for an MMA fighter who's transitioning. But as a woman who's a wrestler, bitch, you ain't there. You're just not. And you can't pretend like you're Natalya. Natalya's not great as a woman who's had to fight against an industry.
Yeah. Well, Natalya's somebody who can, like, technically wrestle really well, but isn't in a whole package as a wrestler, and, capital W.
And has had to learn to be in that place and has, like, put total diva's personality above learning to be a great wrestler in a lot of places.
Well, that's also because she was brought in the diva's division and, like, that's how, like...
Exactly. That's what I'm saying is, like, if Ronda had been brought in the same division as Natalya, she would maybe be considered the best woman who exists in this division. But now you're in a time where Becky Lynch and Io Shirai exists and...
Io Shirai, best wrestler in the world.
And fucking Kairi Sane.
Maybe next to Mako Satomura.
Yeah, exactly. And like, even Kairi, who's been very kneecapped in this company, is a better wrestler than Ronda is. And so it's very hard to be like, yeah, bitch, show up, do these things. Like, you can barely arm toss people. And I can't look past that. If this was 2009 and it was you against Foxy, full stop, and there were no other women, sure, absolutely. I would be very into Ronda. I would be very
What's
on board with that.
What's going to happen when Ronda wins the championship?
I'm pissed.
I know you're going to be pissed, but like, it's just going to be Brock, right?
Yeah. She's going to for real Brock it. She's going to have to do these like...
Because the two people that can storyline take it off of her, Charlotte and Asuka, are not on the same roster.
I think that what's going to eventually happen is that Charlotte and Ronda are going to face each other at WrestleMania, and Ronda's going to get to be one of the first women to main event Mania.
To be honest, I'm fine with that of women main event Mania.
I'm sorry.
I know that you're torn, but torn. To be honest, I'm fine with it.
It
sucks, but I'm not immediately pissed.
I'm immediately gut reaction pissed. I'm not long-term pissed about the idea that Ronda would be there because I think that she can bring name to a division that really needs it as a main event in many ways.
And they're actually letting her wrestle now on the main roster and on the TV show. So
I think it's really important
that
they do that.
Maybe she'll get something.
Maybe she'll continue to get better. I really hope so. I truly don't want her to be bad. I really want her to get better. But I'm also just like, man, so many women have worked so hard and have done so much. Like, even Becky's a great example of like, this bitch has worked so hard and is just gonna get overlooked as a main event of Mania for Ronda. And like, it makes me sad, but like, all I want is Ronda to do better. Like, I don't care for Ronda. There are many things I hate about Ronda as a wrestler. I think she's being used incorrectly, even in her role as a superstar of non-wrestling proportions. But also, like, I think it's bad for Ronda to do this. Like, if you understand you're going to lose her in a year because she's going to have a baby, I get it. I totally understand why they're doing this. And if that's the case, in the end, I'll probably be happy with the run that they did, to be honest. But if she's going to continue to push as a main event superstar and win the belt and be the first main event woman at Mania, this just feels inappropriate. And it sucks. And it just makes me sad. And, like, to see her against Alicia this week is, like, why are you getting this opportunity? Like, I get it. But why? Like, this shouldn't be worth it. It shouldn't be worth sacrificing the rest of your women's division for a movie star caliber person. Are you going to bring Batista back and let him beat the shit out of Daniel Bryan? No.
Probably, maybe. If he wanted to go back, then yes.
People are pissed at Dave Batista because he's very vehemently defending James Gunn. So I don't know about all that. Like, but I saw a hilarious tweet this morning that was like, Dave Bautista's out here tweeting about James Gunn. Like, we did not replace Terrence Howard with Don Cheadle. Like, he never existed. Like, that is a for real fact. Like, bitch, you don't think we can replace you? Because we, like, we will. It's also happened upgrade. In the comics. Like, it's happened in the comics that Drax has just been a straight up new person. And, like, you don't think that they would do that to you? You don't, like... Have you watched Game of Thrones?
He's also not the only one that has been in the Guardians of the Galaxy cast that has been.
But he's also, like, because he's very strong about gay rights and he's also very strong about women's rights, I feel like he's the first person they'll lose. Like, he's treading a very dangerous line as a straight white man who I appreciate is an ally in just the, like, we can replace you with someone else who we will look better as a company. He's towing a very dangerous line.
I don't think they'll replace him. We talked about Charlotte and Becky.
Okay.
The Iconics gave a funny promo.
Oh, they were great.
And they were great. And they got a boring chant, but, like, it's better to get a boring chant and have people mad at you than get as silence. Heels?
For
as
sure.
Heels.
Absolutely.
I mean, I love them. Billy Kay is, like, my everything. I love her so much. Absolutely. I identify her with her deeply.
Mm-hmm. Super Patronus.
Zelina and Lana had a not great match.
They tried.
Their one last week was not terrible. This one was rough.
This one was rough. And it was also like, okay, we're getting to the point where Zelina pins Lana. It really felt like we were never going to get there. And
which
so
we got. And like, yeah. Hayden, you fool, why did you mess up your forgiveness? He had a sad tweet that was like, I guess the road to hell really is paved with good intentions.
And I also like, I don't. Maybe I missed it, but I didn't feel like they made it clear that he was ostracized for that because they had the segment before where he was like, I'm trying
so
hard.
No, but I think like they forgave him before, but then he fucked up after they forgave him, so the forgiveness is off.
It's now off. Okay,
the forgiveness sense. Is off.
The forgiveness is off!
Yeah, aww. What a fool. Poor you. And, I mean, we're almost done, but like the Bar versus the New Day. Hot damn. And I want to be mad that the Bar didn't win, but it was such a good match. And I also love the New Day so much and Kofi Kingston forever that, like, I'm not mad. Also, the crossface like, into the Midnight Hour was beautiful. And, like, I don't know. There were so many actual false finishes. And, like, I really didn't know who was going over. And it was just, like, the pinnacle. It was just, like, it was just a fucking really good match.
I also, though, at the end, like, yes, I totally agree with everything you're saying. I feel like because New Day won... It feels inevitable that the Bludgeon Brothers are going to win.
I don't know. The Bludgeon Brothers have been sucking it up real hard.
I feel like, we said last week, it feels more appropriate that the Bar beats the Bludgeon Brothers. And so if they have some kind of...
Yeah, but that's how it feels to us. And they clearly like aren't doing that. But the Bludgeon Brothers have sucked so hard. And even like you can throw them some like very energetic jobbers, but like... What have the Bludgeon Brothers done for them? Yeah. Why would they keep the tag champs on them?
Because after New Day loses, New Day can go back to doing singles matches, and the Bar can then immediately
Then why wouldn't they just put the Bar there?
Because I think that they need to wrap up the New Day. I think it... I don't feel this way. As someone who watches every week and is super into the New Day, I don't think it's necessary to have the New Day lose their tag team title opportunities.
Right.
But I can see as people who watch casually, who only watch the pay-per-views, really need that disconnect. I think that they need to see New Day lose the title to the Bludgeon Brothers.
They already lost.
To the Bludgeon Brothers?
Yes.
When?
On SmackDown.
But I mean, like, I mean, casual viewers. I don't mean week by week people. Ugh, I mean,
stupid.
I mean, pay-per-view casual viewers. I think that they kind of need to see the New Day lose so that the New Day can separate and start doing individual stuff again.
Well, it's terrible and I hate it.
And then after this, they can have the bar challenge the Bludgeon Brothers in a way that up until now has not seemed, because they haven't been fucking around. I think that's part of the problem. It's like, if New Day loses and the bar shows up and is like, these motherfuckers got lucky. They got fucking lucky. We can beat you. You can make that work into a storyline into the next pay-per-view in a way that, what the fuck are we going to do with either Bludgeon Brothers versus New Day or New Day versus the bar? Like, either of them kind of feel redundant. The bar versus Bludgeon Brothers feels more like we're moving in that direction. Yeah. Especially because they've been on the shelf for so goddamn long.
Goddamn long.
That it feels like we're moving in that direction. And they really want the Bludgeon Brothers to look strong. And like one more win for the Bludgeon Brothers will make them look very strong. It will, like, for casual viewers, they'll be like, oh, duh, obviously. And doesn't your dad love them? Like, yeah, there are people who like them. Like, there are people who feel very strongly about Bludgeon Brothers. And having them beat the New Day and then lose to the bar, I think will mean more than them just, like, straight losing to the New Day.
Should we be done with wrestling?
Let's get the fuck done with this.
But we have to talk. We had some listener questions.
Okay.
And we have a couple reviews.
Yes, we do.
So this one is from Joe Crack on Twitter. Here is a question that really plagues me in my watching. Do either of you find it more difficult to pay attention to wrestling when you aren't watching it live? Not in person, but like when a pay-per-view or episode airs for the first time versus watching it a day later when you have the option to fast forward to things you don't care about. Might just be a problem with me, but when I watch like Lucha a day later, I never find... Oh, it might just be a problem with the shows that I'm watching, because when I watch Lucha a day later, I never find myself fast-forwarding or switching tabs. Yes, absolutely.
100%. It's so much harder to watch the next day. Like,
or like a week later or whatever. Like, truly. We have a certain amount of things that we watch for this podcast, but like, I can't watch everything live all the time.
That's hard.
Like, it's hard.
It's super hard. And like... It, the reason I watch Raw every week is because I watch it with my best friend Dev. On Mondays, we get together.
One of your best friends. How rude.
It's a tier, not a person. Hello. How dare. One of my best friends. He comes over on Mondays and we watch together and like we get high and we smoke and we like chill and watch and like talk about wrestling while we're doing it. If I was not doing that live, I would not watch Raw.
Yeah,
I would just hard. I would just prioritize SmackDown and only do that. Like,
if we didn't have this podcast, my
viewing would be very different. If I didn't
tweet the wrestling and stuff, like, I would watch this a lot differently. I did watch it a lot differently, frankly, before we started.
I would not watch Raw, I don't think. At this point, in the way that they're telling these stories, I would rather watch SmackDown and prioritize those 2 hours and then watch, like, NXT or Lucha or whatever and fill that extra hour or two.
I have a really hard time watching NXT and 205 Live after the fact. I really enjoy both of those shows.
If I don't watch them live, it's super hard.
I don't know why, but if I don't watch them live, I have a super hard time. Like, I will usually pay attention to the main event in both, in the women's segment on NXT, but like NXT has a lot of filler and it's a lot of character building and stuff.
Which I like. I like a lot.
I do really enjoy it, but it is easy for me to tune out to.
Yes.
And honestly, a lot of times the first two matches on 205 Live before the main event, like, it's
I kind of only care about the main event. Yeah.
Easy for me to turn out.
They've
tune
made
out
it.
Even if it's good.
Yeah. And they've kind of set it up in that way where it seems like even if the two matches before the main event are good, 205 Live has made it seem like we don't have to care about them. And so it makes it hard to be like, I watch fucking 8 hours of this goddamn wrestling a week. Do I prioritize this or not? And if a company tells me, and a show in particular tells me, you don't have to care about this, I don't. Like, if you tell me I don't have to care, I'm gonna not care. And so, like, this is our job. We get paid to watch this. It's not our full-time job, but it is a job.
Subscribe to the Patreon. Make it our full-time job.
Our full-time job. LOL. But, like, being told this is your job, and also, these people don't care, It's hard. It really does make a difference in how I view the product. And I feel like, especially watching it late, if I'm watching it live, it's like, I can just let this play. I can just go on. I can do whatever. I don't care. But if I have to go back and watch it, I'm like, ugh, really? You expected me to watch 8 minutes of bullshit? Like, for real? Like, I'm just not interested in that.
For real?
For real? Like, nah, girl, not interested.
Here's another question from him. Thinking about Asuka, Kairi, and the incoming Io Shirai, and Mako Satomura for the Mayan Classic, do you guys think Asuka and Kairi would be doing better on their respective brands if WWE would just let them cut promos in their native language? I've no clue how fluent they may be, but part of me thinks that they can likely hit the better emotional beats if they're allowed to just speak in their most natural manner for them. I know it works in Lucha Underground, but that's pre-taped well in advance, but so is NXT, and so can any backstage segment be. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. 100%. I think it's a great point.
I particularly like this week on Lucha Underground that Dragonus Taka Jr., who I don't love, cut a promo that was half Spanish and half English, and he was like using the English to bring the audience into the crowd there into it, even though a lot of them clearly spoke Spanish, but then would like slip seamlessly into Spanish and like, it was clear that, like, this is a person who exists between these two worlds. Yeah. But also, Penta in Lucha and in Impact only cuts promos in Spanish, and then they put subtitles on it. What the fuck is wrong with subtitles? Absolutely fucking nothing.
Yeah, exactly. I find it very frustrating that WWE seems so... And it's weird, too, because when Cien was first doing... When he first started NXT, he had this, like, you have to speak in English. It moved to weekend subtitle because we're doing these backstage segments. And I wish that they would lean into that more with their other people on the main roster of, like, Asuka can cut a segment. It doesn't have to be live. It doesn't matter. Like, literally, we can't tell, first of all. Like, if you're going to record these segments, which are, LOL, done before the show actually airs, and they are, like, not live. They're just not. Why not just do that and hire people who can translate them? Like, it makes no sense to me that you can't call someone immediately and be like, hey, can you translate this? Right. We'll post this in an hour.
Hire a Japanese person to be there as your translator, so anytime you need it, you need it. You have it.
Exactly. And the fact that they can't do that at all is just, like, you don't care. You clearly don't care about making this move seamlessly. You only care about white people. You only care about the fact that they can speak English. Like, it seems very insulting, honestly. Like, let them speak in their goddamn native language. It was great. It was great when Cien spoke in Spanish and we just had it translated. It felt so much more natural. It felt like fucking cutting in a way that you just don't get when someone's trying to translate what their thoughts are. Like, if you think in Spanish, you should be allowed to talk in Spanish. If you think in fucking Japanese, you should be allowed to cut a promo backstage in Japanese and just translate
it. Especially on the pre-tape stuff.
Absolutely. It makes no... And, like, honestly, even the stuff that they do backstage that they air live during Raw and SmackDown, you can do that at 6 o'clock and record it and do a fucking translation and a sub and air that an hour later. It is so fucking easy to do that. And the fact that they don't means they don't care. Like, you can say budget. You can say, oh, they just did the thing. It is literally just racism and bullshit. That's really all it is. And the fact that you can't think, like, an hour later we can get someone to translate that is just goddamn racism. That's really awesome. It's bullshit. And so I wish they would. I think it's a great point that they should let them do this. These people are so much more
enigmatic?
Yes, thank you. They're engaging.
Engaging is an easier word to say, correct.
They're engaging in a way that they just can't be in a second language. Let them be engaging in their first language. And we all see it. We can all see that that's a thing that they're going to be able to do. And that they're not letting them do it is truly just an old white man thing.
It's bullshit. Okay, so a review for this week. This is from Taichin? I don't know. On iTunes. Fantastic wrestling podcast. 5 stars.
Yes.
really thorough coverage of the world of wrestling. They cover a wide array of shows, many that aren't covered by most wrestling podcasts. Real good critiques of wrestling, but you can tell that they have a love for wrestling that still exists, unlike many, many wrestling podcasts. That's a funny thing that we hear a lot. It's like, most people hate wrestling. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I get it.
Yeah, I get it.
But also, like, if I hated it, I would stop.
Right. If we literally hated what we do, we wouldn't do it anymore.
Someday I'll get there. Just kidding. That's not like a goal.
Someday, like, I'll hate wrestling.
Someday I'll hate what I'm doing. All right. Well, do you feel good that we talked about ladies and wrestling, yeah, even though, you know, you had a tough day?
I'm glad that we got drunk before we did this.
Honestly, we still recorded a pretty long episode.
I know, exactly.
We did not talk about the Parade of Champions at all.
We watched the whole goddamn thing. I'm so excited, to be honest. Like,
it was so good. Renee and Beth on commentary, great.
Fucking fantastic.
I think it's good that they chose Michael Cole to, like, guide them, because he's good at guiding new commentary.
That's literally his job at NXT, is that he teaches people how to be new commentary people. So that I, as much as I find him annoying on Monday Night Raw, I think he actually is a very good teacher.
I would 100% agree. Okay. Who are you most excited to see, and who do you think will win?
I am the most excited to see Nicole Matthews, definitely. I'm so excited to see her. I'm excited about Ginny. I don't really know anything about her, but I've heard so many good things about her that it makes me excited to see her.
Fair.
I'm very excited about Io. Super fucking excited, because we've seen her on Lucha, and, like, I'm very excited about that.
Who do you think will win?
I think Mia might win.
Really?
Yes.
You're the first person I've heard say that.
Okay, here's my theory. I think that they want to have a very exciting lead up. They want people to watch up until Evolution, and then Evolution is the final. They know people are going to watch the final. And so I feel like they might go with kind of a safe bet in the end, but someone that they can feel confident about. And so I think Mia might
be the one. But you would need her to be signed, and she's not signed so far.
I think she's going to sign.
Really?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
That'd be amazing.
She put fucking extensions in her hair.
You're reading a lot into the extensions.
Did she put extensions in last year? No. Did anyone put extensions in that didn't get signed last year? No. I feel like she's given us a sign here. And I feel like if she doesn't make it to I'm the Winner, I think she might make it to the finals.
That's fair.
I feel like part of it is that because they're doing Evolution as a show that is going to have to draw independent viewers in a way they didn't last year, they're going to want a surprise. They're going to, like, Zack Sabre Jr. and Kota Ibushi were supposed to be the CWC finals, and then neither of them signed, and so they kind of had to, like, throw Grand Metal League and TJP into the end. This year, it feels like they're prepared for this in the Mae Young. Like, we know who's going to be signed. We know who's going to make it to the end. We know who's going to do this thing. And so I feel like they're going to kind of throw someone surprising in there of, we understand you're not going to win and not going to sign, but you'll be here, and that will be exciting. I feel like Mia could be that if she doesn't win. I think she might at least make it to Final Two. If she doesn't win, I think Toni Storm might win, because she's Progress, and she's kind of signed.
UK NXT champion.
She's UK signed.
Not champion, but she's in UK NXT.
Yeah, she exists in this UK universe and doesn't have to be officially signed, kind of like Tyler and Pete and Trent. Doesn't have to necessarily be signed. Ginny, same kind of way. I feel like she could make it to the end and, like, win in a way that many other people couldn't. But Toni, especially because she's not wearing the tiny hat. They've adjusted her look to...
She adjusted that look on the indies, though.
Yes, but I feel like Mae Young is specifically of, we have to make this person relatable and exciting and not signed, giant air quotes, that she could also win.
I think you're really overlooking... Okay, so the people I'm most excited for, obviously Nicole Matthews, I cried. Big Swole forever.
Big Swole forever.
Allison Kay. Yes. Like, come on, I love me some Sienna.
I think she's going to eliminate the first round. I'm ready for that.
I would be ready for that too, but, like, she had a really fucked up traumatic injury
yeah.
that could have ended her career. And this is exciting that this isn't the first wave of her comeback.
100%.
And I'm really
That's
excited about that.
Part of what makes me think she's going to get cut early, though, is because she had this giant injury.
Very excited for Karen Q.
Yes!
She fucking rules. Also really excited to see Mako in this. Like,
yes.
It's going to be great. But I do think that EO has the chance to be in the finals and or win.
I don't think she'll win because Kyrie won last year. And I think that they are like, people will be confused because she's Asian. I don't know. Asian.
She's the best wrestler in the fucking world.
I mean.
I'm so curious to see who beats Mako. Because she's.
Yes. Me too.
I know I said earlier. Like,
it's going to be shenanigans. It's going to be shenanigans or count out.
Well, I know I said earlier that EO is the best wrestler in the world, but like.
She's actually the best wrestler.
I think it's like, I mean, have you ever seen them wrestle together?
No, I haven't.
It is like mind-meltingly like good. They're so, ugh. The more you watch women's Japanese wrestling, which again, I haven't watched a ton, but I've seen a decent amount. Not a decent amount. I've seen some, but like, I feel like the more you watch, the more you'll understand why I hate the coup de grace so much.
Yeah. I get it. I totally understand. I like
which it. This week's coup de grace blew. Fuck Finn Balor.
Shut the fuck up. I feel like part of it with Yo and Maiko is that they won't put two Asian women.
No.
Together.
I get it. I truly think Toni Storm's gonna win. That's my pick. Maybe Tegan Nox because she has that like comeback story and she's signed at NXT.
If it's not Toni, it might be Ginny because Kyrie won last year. Ginny may win because she exists in this world of ambiguous, where she's not blonde white bitch in the way that many fucking WWE people and NXT people are. But Ginny also exists in this, like, I'm progress. I'm the same Toni Storm, but not a white lady. And so I feel like Ginny has this
not
place.
Not blonde.
Yes, exactly.
Not stereotypical.
Exactly. Exists in this place of, like, there are people who watch her and be like, oh, you're not this blonde white bitch. And so she'll exist in this place where I think that she has a...
I don't like you calling... I know what you're saying, but like, Toni Storm's not a blonde white bitch.
No, I agree. But the way that WWE views people...
No, I understand.
Yeah, exactly. And so I feel like if they're gonna pick a progress person over Toni Storm, I think it might be Ginny. Just because she hits this groove that they're really looking for in a way that... Even though Toni Storm has gotten rid of the tiny hat, does not exactly
I don't know why
fit.
You all hate the tiny hat.
Because it
it's great.
Sucked.
You guys suck. It's great.
No, it sucked.
Fuck you guys. It's great.
Okay. We just had to pee very badly.
Okay. Well, that's the end of our podcast. It was rambly and a mess, and Aaron's grandpa died, and we're sorry.
We're sorry. Sort of. I'm at urgency.
I'm at Stella_Cheeks. You can also find me on CageSideSeats.com and you should follow us on Not Your Demo Pod on Twitter.
Yes, absolutely. And we're both posting very frequently in there at this
point. I'm the black heart. She's the purple heart.
We're trying. It's working. you can email us at notyourdemo@gmail.com.
You should rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And whatever platform you can do that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
harder
yeah.
for us to find this, but
whatever.
iTunes, yes.
I'm over it. Let's go.
Okay, goodbye.
Two words for you.
Brain melt, goodbye.
Gotta pee.